You were not created to thrive apart from God. Nobody was. We are divinely designed to thrive in the presence of our Creator God. David understood this, and as we continue through the Psalms, this truth is reflected in Psalm 63 through 65. Praising God for His faithfulness, trusting Him when we're under attack, and obeying His word are keys to enjoying security and satisfaction in Him. Stephen has a lesson for you today called Security and Satisfaction.
Well, as we open our study today in Psalm 63, the heading reads, A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, in verse 9, David indicates why he's out there. He writes, Those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. Now, David is at this point a fugitive in the desert. He's either running from King Saul, or more than likely, from the clues we can put together, he's probably running from his rebellious son Absalom, who's masterminded an attempt to take the throne of Israel. Now, in this psalm, David actually offers guidance to help us whenever we find ourselves in a rather desolate, a spiritually desolate place. He writes here in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You know, David is describing the world as a place that isn't going to satisfy you. In other words, if you're thirsty for something real, if you're thirsty for something that's lasting, well, the world doesn't have that kind of water fountain. Now, we might be offered a lot of things, you know, to entertain us, to get our minds off our thirst and our hunger. We got a lot of amusement today. Interestingly, the word muse means to think, with that prefix ah. Amusement means no, or not to think, or to be distracted from thinking. Amusement might keep you occupied so you don't think. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with amusement, entertainment. There's nothing wrong with an amusement park. In fact, when our children were growing up, we'd take them to the state fair held every year here, right here in our hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina. The kids love the rides. Frankly, I went for the food. I'd make my way over to this one particular stand, and I'd wait for one of those deep-fried Snicker bars. They'd take a Snicker bar. They'd poke a little stick through it, make it look like a corn dog. They'd cover it with batter, and then they'd stick it in a pot of oil to deep-fry it. After a few seconds, that candy bar would melt on the inside, and the outside would be fluffy and crispy. And then the chef, who obviously knew how to cook, rolled it in powdered sugar. When he handed it to me, you know, I could almost hear my aorta slamming shut. Now, obviously, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't doing much thinking there at that amusement park, but that sure was good. Well, that's how David's describing the world. It might be sweet, enjoyable, entertaining, but it's not very good for you. It's going to leave you longing for something richer, something deeper, something more meaningful. See, David is thirsty for the Lord. He writes here that he earnestly seeks after God. This word earnestly can be translated early. David's also hungry for the things of God. He writes here in verse 5, My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Now, he's not talking about a deep-fried Snicker bar here. In fact, have you ever considered the truth that walking with God is like eating a well-prepared meal, a soul-nourishing, a heart-satisfying meal? Well, now David changes the metaphor from the dinner table to out there in the garden. He writes here in verse 8, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." The picture here is of a clinging vine. It's a description of David holding on to God that is keeping the Lord close. But you'll notice that God's right hand upholds him. The right hand is the hand of power. That's the sovereign hand of authority. And that's holding David. So David is clinging by faith, and the Lord's powerful hand is upholding David. So this relationship is a two-way street. I wonder if 2 Samuel 17 was the inspiration for this psalm, because David is on the run from his enemies. He's sitting out in the wilderness. He's been betrayed. He has with him his family. He has a small band of soldiers. He's got a few friends, and they're not sure what to do next. And then all of a sudden, wagons appear loaded with food, with supplies provided by some loyal friends without even being asked. His friends just show up. And the explanation that they offer here in verse 29 is this: the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. This is a wonderful picture of what the Lord does for you and me to this day. It's his help, his sustenance, his provision arriving at just the right time. Maybe it's his word, a passage that encourages your heart. It could be a friend who gives you a call or sends you a note. God meets you and gives you the right provision to encourage you along the way. Maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you know some people who need you today. Maybe you need to drive your wagon over to their place and encourage them. They're spiritually hungry. They're thirsty. They're in a desolate wilderness place. Now, the next psalm, Psalm 64, is a short psalm, but it has a familiar theme we'll recognize. David is writing about having to deal with hurtful and discouraging words. He's praying here for strength to endure it all. He writes in these opening verses that his enemies have tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. I mean, they're shooting arrows at David, and they're tipped with poisonous words. Well, what do you do when you're under this kind of surprise attack? Well, frankly, you're not supposed to just stand there and see how many arrows you can take. You take it all to the Lord. That's what David does here. He seeks vindication in God alone. He runs to the Lord. And David writes here in verse 10, he goes to take refuge in him, that is, in the Lord. Now, Psalm 65 is as far away from the battlefield as you can get. It seems like David takes us to some well-watered farmland. The soil is rich. It's moist. This is that farmer's dream plot. And the verses are filled now with praise because of all the blessings that he has received from God. In verse 2, the Lord hears the prayers of those who come to him with a right heart. In verse 3, he's praising God for his grace. He writes, "When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions." Now, every farmer reading this psalm understands the depth of David's praise as he writes here in verse 9, "You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth." Well, like I said, this is a farmer's favorite psalm. This is another way of describing the satisfaction that God alone can bring as our hearts become plots of ground in which God works. And David writes here about the bumper crop at harvest time here in verse 11. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Listen, beloved, what makes these psalms possible? What makes them so inspiring is the connection between our obedience to God's word and the faithfulness and the timely provision from the hand of God. C.S. Lewis once wrote that true pleasure in life, true satisfaction, is the invention of God. Satan has never been able to manufacture a single genuine pleasure in life. The best Satan can do, by the way, is amuse you for a little while. Maybe you get something to eat that you probably shouldn't eat more than once a year, if that isn't good for you. Lasting, a true and lasting satisfaction. Well, that's something we receive from walking with God. And just think of what's ahead. Think of the pleasures of heaven to come. Seeing God, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with the redeemed, walking the streets of gold along that river that we're told cascades from God's throne, enjoying fruit year-round from the tree of life, from that orchard that grows along the river bank, all that and so much more, that's going to satisfy us one day, and it's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, beloved, through God's word, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I'm glad you are with us today for this lesson of the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. I'm your host, Scott Wiley. In addition to equipping you with these daily Bible messages, we also have a magazine that we publish monthly. We send Heart to Heart magazine to all of our Wisdom partners, but we'd be happy to send you the next three issues if you'd like to see it for yourself. You can sign up for it on our website, or you can call us today. Our number is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-482-4253. Call today, then join Stephen next time along this wisdom journey.